If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And just want to talk today about a fresh look at compassion. A fresh look at compassion. I really believe that God is doing a work in us, and he's drawing us closer to that place where compassion is flowing out of us. And I think that's something that's very important that needs to happen, that we become even more compassionate than what we are. And I know the Lord has been working on my heart in that area as well, just to be more compassionate. So Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 11, it says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? It's a good question to ask. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take the interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, this morning, I just want to take a fresh look at the importance of compassion. And from what I'm hearing, from what I'm seeing, from what even I'm experiencing in my own life, I'm just seeing that the Lord is stirring a lot of people in this regard to be more compassionate. And compassion is something that I believe our world needs right now. There's just so many people struggling in life, and we need to be responding to them with compassion. The dictionary describes compassion as expressing sorrow for the suffering or trouble of another, to be merciful, to be tender-hearted, and to sympathize deeply with other people. And as believers in Christ today, I believe we're called to show an extra level of compassion in the world that we're living in. And I think you know, just as I do, that there's a lot of people today that are struggling in life. They're looking for answers, they're looking for hope, and some are even looking to the church, to God, to see if God can really help them in their time of need. And as we see that, our job is to welcome them, have compassion on them, and to have a desire to help them without condemnation. You know, our hearts need to go out to those who are struggling with life, sympathizing with them, being compassionate, weeping with them, feeling their pain, being willing to help. And I know personally for myself, I'm finding myself weeping more. And I'm not a person that outwardly weeps. I'm not that type of a person. I do a lot of on the inside. But I've been really finding the Lord has been really causing me to weep a whole lot more. And as I'm trying to deal with that on the inside, I just know that God is wanting to do greater things. And so I've said, okay, God, I want to move away from my wants, my desires, my thoughts, my opinions, my attitudes, my judgments. I surrender those to you, that even more compassion might flow out of me. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that are kind of dealing with the same thing. I know there's been a person that's been texting me and sending me pictures, and they're becoming more and more concerned about their community. They send me pictures and tell me, you know, here's a young person that just passed away, Pastor. Here's another person that was shot, Pastor. Here's a person that committed suicide, Pastor. And these are all taking place in my community. And what's happening? Well, there's a stirring taking place that we might weep and cry and have compassion over our communities. It makes me kind of wonder, what would happen if we would all start to weep for our communities? If we would start to weep for our neighborhoods, if we would start to weep for the places that we live in, instead of, you know, noting all the problems, all the difficulties, all the things that are happening, and, you know, expressing our opinions about those things, what if we started to weep and pray for them? I was talking to a person a couple nights ago, and they were at a worship conference. And they were telling me that in the conference, as they got into the song service part, they said, I don't know what happened. I just kind of froze. And I couldn't move. And all I could do was weep and weep and weep. And I really believe that God is bringing a lot of us. And maybe you're here today, and maybe that's been something that's been happening to you, and you've been kind of maybe a little bit concerned about, like, what's going on? Why am I weeping like I'm weeping? And I want to tell you, that's the Lord. He's stirring our hearts to weep for the situations that we see all around us. And I really believe that God is preparing us to welcome new people who will be searching for help, who will be searching for relief from the pain and the hurt that they are experiencing. And I really believe, and we kind of declared that the other week, that we believe this church should be a healing center, a restoration center for people that are hurting, a place of hope, recovery. And I really believe there's going to be many people come in from different walks of life looking for answers, looking for help, checking us out to see if God can make a difference. And I believe we need to be ready, and I believe that God is getting us ready, moving in our hearts, moving in our lives, to help us be more effective in ministering and helping and sympathizing with people. And I really believe that God is working even on our mindsets and changing those mindsets to what he desires, what he wants, and what he wants to do. I was reading a story, maybe you saw it on Facebook this week. I just happened to see it. It was a story by Jim Cimbala out of New York, and from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, the pastor there. And he shares a story where he was preaching one Sunday, I believe it was the Easter Sunday service, and at the end of the service, as people came up for prayer, he has a large group of altar workers, and he said, you know, they were doing a great job. They were praying for everybody, and so he said he just kind of came down and just sat on the edge of the platform and said, just kind of resting. I wanted to rest, and I was really tired. And he says, as I was resting, and I looked out, he said, I saw there was a man. He was a street person. And he was looking straight at me, and I knew that he was wanting to come and talk to me, but I was tired. I didn't really want to talk to him. And as I saw him move out from his seat and start to come towards me, he said, I was hoping that one of my altar workers would, you know, kind of intercept him, pray for him, but they were all busy. And so he came to me, and he said, this man, that the stench of this man was so terrible, he said, I'd have to keep turning my head to catch a breath, because the stench from the streets was so strong on him. And he said, you know, because I was tired, I just thought, you know, probably want some money. And I know we have a practice in our church that we don't give out money, but I'm going to give this guy money because I just want to get rid of him today. I don't have time to talk to this person. And so he did that. He reached in his wallet to give this man some money. And the man very quickly said, Pastor, I don't need your money. What I'm here for is to see if this Jesus that you talked about can help me. And of course, Jim Cimbala says, oh, he said, that went right to my heart. And he repented before the Lord, and he just began to break down and began to have a compassion for this man. And he began to weep with him. He began to hug him and pray for him. And as he goes on in that story, it's rather interesting that that street person that day gave his heart to the Lord. And as he did that, he also decided, you know, I want to break free from this drugs and the alcohol that has me bound. And so he went into a detox program, and he got free of alcohol and drugs. He totally changed his life. He began to come to the church, got involved with the church. And the interesting part of that whole story is that eventually he became a pastor. And now he's pastoring one of the satellite churches of Jim Zambala's church there in New York. You know, sometimes we don't know who God may draw or who may God may use. And, you know, there may be a person that might be coming to you for help or to talk to you. And, you know, sometimes we have these perceived ideas of people. And sometimes those perceived ideas can keep us from really ministering to them. And I really believe that God wants us to be open to minister to the whosoever. The whosoever that would come our way, that we might minister to them and have compassion upon them. See, our God is in the business of changing lives. God is in the business of turning lives around. God is in the business of taking something that's so messed up and turning into something so beautiful. And I really believe that God is wanting to bring people in this place, and the natural may have some impossible situations that they're going through. But let us remember, our God is the God of the impossible. He makes the impossible possible. But he's asking us, are our hearts tender and compassionate for this to happen? So may we prepare ourselves. May we deal with, you know, any misconceptions we might have, opinions, judgments, attitudes, and just keep our hearts open and allow God to work through us and to be the compassionate people that he needs us to be, that we might reach our hurting world. Because I really believe there are miracles, they're already taking place. Many of you here have stories of a miracle, how your life has changed. Well, I believe there's a whole lot more out there that lives need to be changed. And they do. They do look to you. And we serve a big God. He can do big things no matter how bad a situation looks. That's our God. He is able to do that. And so I just want to encourage you today to be open to a fresh anointing, a fresh compassion that would grow within your heart for other people, that will actually lead you to a place where you start finding yourself weeping for other people, weeping for the situations and the circumstances that are happening in and around you. Because I really believe that's important. And I really believe that God is wanting to draw many people to this place, that we might be a people that receive them, that have compassion on them, that help them and help bring them to that place of restoration and healing. Now, as we look at compassion, I want to look at a few areas just to help us along that area. And when we talk about compassion, we need to talk about Jesus. Because over and over again, he showed us what it is to be compassionate. He set as the example for us to follow. And the Apostle Paul here in this text, he points to this fact that we should have the same attitude, the same compassion, really, that Jesus had. Philippians 2:5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. See, Christ is our example of what we should be. And all through Scripture, we see the compassion of Jesus, especially upon people that society had written off, or especially upon people that maybe society looked down upon. And you can think of many people, even in our own area, that as a society, we sometimes look down upon. And God is telling us and wanting us to look with new eyes and to have compassion upon all those people that society might look down upon. We can think of the woman that was caught in adultery in John chapter 8. The Pharisees wanted to really to trip Jesus up, and they wanted to stone her, and they were looking for Jesus to agree with them. And only Jesus could have a response like he did. And in John chapter 8, 7, Jesus says, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And the Bible goes on, the story goes on to tell us that one by one they started to think about that and realized they weren't without sin, and they started to walk away. And soon there was nobody left. And so Jesus, seeing the woman by herself, says, he stood up and he said, verses 10 and 11 of John 8, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." I wonder how we would have a response from our world if we weren't so quick to condemn them, but rather to extend compassion to them. Yes, we acknowledge that there's sin. Yes, we acknowledge that there's wrong that has been done. But you can't go into your past and relive it. But you can change your future. And that's what Jesus focused on. He said, go and sin no more. Yes, you've made mistakes. Yes, you've done all these things. But what's important is that you take this day and make this day your starting point to say, I will sin no more. Now, Jesus could have condemned her, but he chose to have compassion upon her. And we need to do the same. Have compassion upon people. You know, compassion will lead you past judgment and help you see hope for the future. And that's what Jesus was doing for this woman, sympathizing with her, being tender-hearted, extending compassion. You know, we need to realize that we all make mistakes in life. Some of us might make worse mistakes than others, but we're all there. We've all made mistakes in life. And it's a good thing to know that as we come to Jesus, there's understanding and there's compassion to receive us. Another story is the man that came to Jesus with leprosy. And having this disease, he was supposed to keep his distance from people and announced that he was a leper so that no one would come near him and that everyone would realize that I have this terrible disease called leprosy. But we see that this leper came before Jesus. He broke all the protocols out there and he knelt before Jesus. Now Jesus could immediately said, get away from me. You're a leper. Get away from me. You're breaking protocol here. You should have announced that you were a leper. You're putting all these people that are around me in danger. But he didn't do that. Mark 1, 40, 41 tells that rest of the story. And he said a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, be healed. Again, Jesus could have rebuked him. He could have told him, you know, get out of here. You don't belong here. But he didn't do that. He had compassion on him. You know, sickness, disease is a terrible thing to be stricken with. But Jesus has compassion for us. And so if you're sick today, or maybe you have a disease that's an incurable disease, and maybe you think, well, I just need to stay away from people, Jesus is saying, come, I have compassion for you. I'll reach out to you. And we need that as well. Another story of great compassion was when Jesus met a funeral procession of a young boy who had died. He was an only child and his mom was a widow. And so there's great consequences there for a widow to have no children to help her. And really, that's almost like a death sentence for a widow at that time. But when Jesus saw this crowd coming and realized there was a young boy that was in that coffin, the Bible said Jesus had compassion. Luke chapter 7, 13 to 15. It says, when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. And then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. And then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I always look when I read scriptures about Jesus, I'm saying, like, he's the most important person to invite to a funeral. You'll never know what can happen in a funeral if you invite Jesus. But Jesus has compassion in funerals. Jesus has compassion when we go through grief and sorrow and the loss of a loved one. Jesus weeps with us. In fact, the Bible tells us that in another story where Jesus went to another funeral and he saw all the people that were mourning, that he himself, he began to weep. That's a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior. He weeps with us. He cries with us. He sympathizes with us. He's compassionate about us. And there's all kinds of other occasions where we see Jesus being compassionate with people. And that's something as his followers that we too, we need to get that place where compassion begins to rise up again and becomes more important in our lives, really, than a whole lot of other stuff. And we start being compassionate towards others. Secondly, as we look at a fresh look at compassion, we need to look at ourselves and do an examination of ourselves to see, is my compassion shining through? Am I being compassionate? Is compassion a major quality of my life right now? Is my compassion like Jesus? Am I acting like Jesus? Philippians 2:1 says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Those are very powerful words that addresses ourselves. Are our hearts tender and compassionate? Or have we allowed the hardness of things that have happened in these last number of years to really kind of overwhelm us to the place that we've lost tenderness and compassionate towards one another? So it's a really good question to ask ourselves, how are we doing in this area of compassion? Because compassion is supposed to be a natural outflow of every believer's heart. It should be normal for us to be compassionate for people. And when we think of people that have gone astray, or people that have fallen away from the faith, or people that have made mistakes or major mistakes or messed up their lives or struggling with life, compassion needs to be our normal expression that comes through. You know, sometimes we really need to fight that urge to comment, or that urge to correct, or that urge to give some counsel. And just simply start with compassion, to reach out in compassion, to weep with them, trying to be understanding, trying to sympathize with them while trying to help. What if we started doing that for one another in our communities, that we would begin to weep for each other's communities, that we would try to be more understanding of what goes on in all of our communities that surround us, and that we would begin to sympathize, begin to grieve with those who are grieving, weep with those who are weep, and to believe God to change our communities. Romans 12:15 says, be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep. So I guess we need to ask ourselves, when's the last time you wept over somebody? When's the last time that you heard of a situation that's happening in your community and it brought tears to you? It just, you know, just touched your heart, and you began to pray for them, and you began to ask God, we need some intercession, Lord. We need some breakthroughs to take place here. Because, you know, you don't have to look very far to see people struggling in life. Are we compassionate? Again, as we look to Jesus, he wept over the condition of people's hearts, wept over the condition of lifestyle choices. Jerusalem, his favorite city, would reject him, would eventually kill him. But Jesus looked past that, and he looked past even in the future, realizing, you know, that there was a time coming, Jerusalem, where you're going to be overrun by your enemies. And what does it say about Jesus? It stirred his compassion. He began to weep for the city. Luke chapter 19, 41, 42. And as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace. But it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Began to weep for them. People of Jerusalem didn't recognize who Jesus was. They rejected the opportunity of salvation, even though Jesus continued to reach out to them. And you know, friends, it can be very easy for us all to get caught up in our lives that we can kind of forget about people. Every person is valuable in God's sight. And sometimes, you know, we can write off people, you know, or just push them aside. And that's not what Christ would do. We need to get that back to that place of compassion, examining ourselves to see if we're operating in that area. Do we weep for one another? Do we weep for our community? Do we weep for our town? Do we weep for our villages? Do we weep for the reserves that are surrounding us? Because real compassion is going to cause us to come together and begin to weep for one another and weep for the things that are happening all around us. You know, we hear and being spoken over our whole area that this is the most violent and most crime area in all of Alberta. Do we weep about that? Or do we just complain about that? I think God wants us to begin to weep about that, to see a change, to see a turnaround. And I believe that we can see a change in this whole area, that it becomes the best place, not just in Alberta, but in Canada, if we begin to weep for our communities, begin to pray and seek God for our communities. So we need to examine ourselves, keeping our hearts tender, willing to accept anyone that would come our way. Sympathize with them, open our hearts to them, introduce them to the love and compassion of Jesus. Because Jesus won't reject them. He looks past the outward appearance and he looks to the heart. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think that God would never accept them, God will never forgive them, but he will, because he sees our hearts. And that's where the change begins, in our heart. Joel chapter 2, 13, it says, don't tear your clothing in grief. Tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate. He's slow to get angry. He's filled with unfailing love, and he's eager to relent and not punish us. God doesn't want to punish you. He wants to help you. He wants to weep with you. He wants to sympathize with you. He wants to extend compassion to you. There's hope, friends. No matter how terrible the things that you have done or what has happened in your life, the Lord is compassionate to you and he extends his love to you. So in helping people, we need to be compassionate. Bring them to Jesus, because he is a compassionate God and we're representatives of him. And so again, as we examine ourselves, how are we doing in the area of compassion? I really believe that God is going to be taking more of us into a place where we just start to weep. And when that happens, you know, don't think, oh, I must be depressed. No, he's doing something inside of you and stirring your heart that you might be more compassionate for your world that is around you. So let us examine ourselves. And as we talk about that, our third point is to talk about things that can hinder that compassion. You know, it can be easy to be caught up in the busyness of life, caught up with all the things that are going on around us, to be caught up in our own desires, that we sometimes can miss opportunities to show the compassion of Christ. So there can be some hindrances for compassion. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of ourselves is better than ourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Taking an interest in other people. Not to forget that we're really here to help people. Life is not all about ourselves. It's also about other people. And it shows us that, you know, as we even look to the scriptures and look to ourselves there, can be some hindrances that happen in our lives that keep us from being the people we should be. Sometimes it's just simply about that we are caught up in ourselves. We're caught up in our own world and things that are happening to ourselves. Very easy to do. Sometimes it's about pride, that we're arrogant. We're only thinking about ourselves and that we're better than everybody else. Sometimes it can be selfishness. We're just totally looking for things for self. And those kinds of attitudes are certainly going to hinder our compassion. Another passage of Scripture that talks about some hindrances and things to get rid of that we might be more compassionate is found in Ephesians 4, 31, 32. And it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Tender-hearted, that's being compassionate. Forgiving one another. Loving on one another. God wants us to be those kinds of people. He wants us to minister to people, to touch people, to bring forgiveness to people. And you know, and if we get caught up with sometimes the things that go on in our own lives, we've got to deal with bitterness quickly. We need to deal with rage or anger quickly. Harsh words or slander, evil behavior. You know, there's all kinds of things that can come to our minds as we speak over our communities. What do you speak over your communities? I think we need to change that and start being compassionate and weep over our communities. So I think we need to look at ourselves. Is there anything that is hindering us from being compassionate? Has there been things that we've been allowing in our life that is drawing us away from that place where we're compassionate for one another, where we might love on one another? I know I've been praying personally, again, just saying, Lord, I surrender. I surrender my desires. I surrender my wants, my opinions, my attitudes, Lord. Judgments that I might have, Lord. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to work in me that I might be even more compassionate, that I might even touch more people, that I might weep with those who are weeping. So we really need to look at ourselves in this area. Ephesians 5:10, later on in that chapter, it says, carefully determine what pleases God. So this whole area of compassion, that's where God wants us to be. We need to seek that. Then a fourth point in looking at compassion is to looking, putting on a new attitude, a new mindset of compassion, a new commitment to compassion. Philippians 2:5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Same attitude as Christ. And that's something we really need to work on, to have that same attitude, that same heart that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has. May we strive to be more and more like Jesus in word and thought and deed. I think the Apostle Paul gives us a good summary of what the Lord is looking for. In the book of Colossians 3, 12 to 15, it says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. That's compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. These are the things that God is really wanting in our lives. That it's like clothes, that we put them on. And it starts with compassion. Tender-hearted mercy. Compassion should really be important to us. Place where we need to start. And as we start there, helps us with humility, helps us to be gentle, helps us to be patient with one another, helps us to be forgiving to one another, helps us to love, and helps us to be in harmony and peace and to be thankful. And I've been watching a number of you have been doing that. I can see it. You've been forgiving. You've been loving. You've been extending that hand of fellowship to people that maybe that you had difficulties with before, but you're saying, no, this is a new day, it's a new season, and there's something inside of you that's working. That's the Holy Spirit working in us, bringing us together to love on one another, to care for one another, to weep with one another, to be compassionate for one another. The Apostle Peter also spoke about this as well in 1 Peter 3:8. He said, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. Again, be tenderhearted, be compassionate, and keep a humble attitude. Sympathize with others. Love each other. Be tenderhearted towards one another. Let's continue to be humble. We need that. Our world needs that. Our community needs that. Our communities around us, they need that. We need to be compassionate. And so as we close today, as the musicians come back to the instruments, I hope that this resonates inside of you. That for us as Christians, we need to rise up to a higher level of compassion to reach the people that God is sending our way, to reach the people that are all around us, because our world is hurting. Our world is in trouble. And we can condemn them and we can give, you know, our judgments and all those kinds of things. But I know the Lord is working more in me is just be compassionate. Throw out the other stuff and just be compassionate. Start showing compassion. Start weeping with them. Start getting to know them. Identify with them. Find out what's going on in their area, that you can pray for them, that you can help them. So we do pray that, Lord, help us to show compassion. Help us to deal with our hearts. Keep them tender. Help us to deal with our actions and attitudes that aren't where they should be. And help us to have a new mindset that demonstrates compassion. Stir my heart, Lord. Stir my heart for what stirs yours. Help us weep for what you weep for, God. Help us see what you see. Help us to look beyond the outward appearance and see the gold that's inside of every person out there. Do a work in us. Change our thoughts, our attitudes, mindsets, opinions, judgments. Soften our hearts that we might surrender all these things to you and be compassionate. I believe that's what God is calling us to be. More compassionate. I believe that we're all going to start getting to a place where you're going to feel the Spirit of the Lord hit you. And maybe we need to be praying that, Lord, hit us hard. Because sometimes the head can be hard to get through. And say, Lord, I want to weep for those that you're weeping for. I want to be compassionate for those people that you're compassionate about. I don't want to be writing off people, but Lord, help me to be compassionate to all these people that are around me, because lots of people are hurting today. So many people. Help us to be compassionate. We're going to be singing a song in closing that we actually closed our singing with. And so we want to invite Jesus to come, because he's the way maker. He's the one that can make a way where there seems to be no way. We often allow our minds to dictate to us, say, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. God is saying, if we begin to weep for people, you're going to start to see some things change. You're going to see communities change. You're going to see regions change if we start weeping for people. He is the way maker. He is a God that he does work miracles. He is a miracle working God. He is a God that can take the impossible and make it possible. He's a God who keeps his promises. And he's a God that's a light in the midst of darkness. Yes, there's lots of darkness out there. Get Jesus there, and suddenly that light permeates the darkness, and the darkness flees. That's our God. Let us believe in him. Let us hope in him. Let's invite him to come and work in and through us, that we might be a people more compassionate than we've ever been.